Matthew. A sermon entitled Skeletons in the Closet. Esqueletos en el Closet. O Esqueletos en el Gabinete. Amen. Skeletons in the Closet. The phrase skeletons in the closet or skeletons in the cupboard is an idiom. It means secrets or shameful facts about someone's past that they don't want others to know or uncover. A skeleton suggests something dead and unpleasant. A closet or cupboard suggests a private space where people hide things out of sight. Examples of these are in the political life. A politician might seem perfect, but when journalists or media personnel suggest that he or she had a few skeletons in the closet, it means that they likely had a past scandal or secrets that can harm that person's reputation. The phrase, it comes from the English 19th century. Back then, a skeleton symbolized something frightening, shameful, or connected to death. A closet or cupboard was a small private storage space. The idea was you can shut the door and keep unpleasant hidden things from view. The metaphor was used to describe doctors hiding evidence of malpractice. Can you say amen, Pueblo, coroner? Amen. There, the coroner there in Pueblo, amen, he was hiding bodies that were probably there for about 15, possibly they say 20 years. They were hiding them in a secret wall. They were here in a secret room that was covered by a fake wall, I believe, amen. They were hiding, listen, so that it would not be shown. Today, when someone has skeletons in the closet, we are borrowing, the image of hiding disturbing skeletons where no one will see it. Here in the Word of God, God is showing us a few skeletons that are written in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He shows us some things that were not anticipated. And as you and I read tonight the Word of God, we're going to see that it's going to make you wonder why in the world were these people placed in the Word of God. Can I make a statement tonight? There is not one word that is wasted in the Bible. Everything is written for you and I, amen, to see that there is a purpose in why God places them there. God includes these names for a purpose. These are some skeletons in the closet. Let's read, Matthew 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. That's one. Does anybody know who Tamar is? Perez, begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Number two, who was Rahab? We'll let you know. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Ruth. Who is Ruth? We'll let you know. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. David, the king, begot Solomon by her. Listen, it doesn't even name the person. All it says, by her. Who is she? Bathsheba. Who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah, Asa. Asa, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah, Manasseh. Manasseh, Amon. Amon, Josiah. Josiah, Jeconiah, and his brothers about the time that they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Ahaz. And we're just going to stop right there. Glory to God. Amen. Why can't they just have Jesus, Jose, you know, all these easy names? There's somebody behind you. So here it is, amen. We're there, folks. All these things, amen. The first skeleton in the closet is Tamar. In Genesis 38, 24 through 26. Here it is, amen. We see that that Judah, verse 24, and it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. When she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet and cord and staff. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah, my son, and he never knew her again. Here it is, amen. She was there. She was a prostitute. She played the harlot, amen, in her father-in-law. She deceived him, amen, because her husband died, and then she took the next brother as it was a custom, and he died. And Judah says, I'm not going to give you my youngest son. Amen. So she goes up because she was there. She deceived him. Amen. And we see that now she is in the lineage of Christ. We see Rahab in chapter 2 as they are there. They are coming up to a point where they are getting ready to go into the city there. And once again, Joshua sends spies. As he sends the spies, amen, they're there. She says, I will protect these men, but what are you going to do for me? They tell her, as we come in into the walls of Jericho, we will be there. We will protect you. Give me a sign. So they give her a sign, and here she is, folks. She's in the line, amen, of Jesus, another prostitute, amen, by trade. We see Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabite, an enemy of God, twice married, and King David's great-grandmother. All it says is by her. But by her is Bathsheba. She's a woman who committed adultery with King David. Got pregnant while being married to Uriah. Amen. And she became the mother of Solomon. See, these women that you and I see, you can say that there are skeletons in their closet. They have things that they want to be hidden from everybody else. So what is the purpose, amen, of these people? The first purpose is that God will show his providence to you and I. One man said, providence is God's control of circumstances so that his will prevails and his purposes are fulfilled. See, God in all things to you, it might be something like, God, how can you allow two prostitutes? God, how can you allow an enemy of your people? God, how can you allow, amen, the slaughter of an innocent man, of Uriah? God, how can you allow these things? See, God prevails and his purposes. See, God is always in control, folks. He does not, listen, God is not one to condone sin. How many know that? So he's not there to say, what am I doing? Why is this happening? This is not something that can happen, folks. This is not something that God is trying to allow, amen, but he does make sure, listen to me, that his purposes, that everything that God does prevails. His purposes are always fulfilled. Even sin cannot stop, or evil cannot stop, what God is trying to do, folks. You might think, why is God using him or her? It might be that they are in the will. See, to you and I, it seems like, why? But to God, he sees a bigger picture. God's plan will be carried out. Secondly, it shows us the faithfulness of God. God promised Israel that he would raise up a king in the line of David. Israel's hope was in the Messiah that God had promised. They were looking for a deliverer. God tonight is always true to his word. He did bring the Messiah. He not only, came to deliver the Jews, but he came to deliver everyone, every single person to be able to come and be returned to God. Even when you and I find ourselves in the worst of circumstances, God is always true through his word. If you look at these women, they were not women of God. They would not be our first choice. How many know that? Amen. They were not the most polished of people. But isn't that what God does? He chooses people like you and I that would probably not be the first choice in the lineup. They would not be your first choice, but yet God used them to bring the birth of Jesus into the world. Even when, things seem bleak, foggy, or even hazy, God is always faithful. Thirdly, is to show you and I the grace of God. How many of us would be disqualified tonight? ¿Cuántos de nosotros estuviéramos descualificados en esta noche? But yet God said, I choose you. God chose you and I because of his grace. See, the Jews, they were not deserving, folks, of the Messiah. When they should have been worshiping God, they were now worshiping Baal. They were now worshiping false gods. They were giving themselves to idolatry. At the time of Jesus' birth, amen, they had a new idol. Now their new idol was called legalism. If you look at Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, and so on, amen, each and every single one of them fell short of God's glory. How many know that? We look at Abraham. Abraham lied twice. Come on in. He came in, amen. He said, tell him you're my sister. They're going to see how beautiful you are, and they're going to kill me because of you. So tell them that you are my sister. He came in, amen. God tells the people there, he tells them, if you touch her, you're going to die. Why have you done this to us? He did that twice. David committed adultery. He killed many of men. He not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but as the husband comes back, he said, lay with her so that the whole thing would be covered up. He said, I'm not going to do that while the men are out there in battle. So what he did is he goes back, folks. And as he's there, he creates a scheme and says, when he's there, you guys back up. Let him die. Committed murder. Not only adultery, but murder. We look at Moses. Moses was the deliverer, amen, but he was also a murderer. Solomon. With 1,000 wives, that's all I got to say. Amen. Solomon, listen, amen. I got one wife. And I'm like, what happened? He's got 1,000, amen. Listen, that's beyond. The other day I was reading, amen, a story of the man in one of those shows, the reality show, unreality show. How, amen, the women, they're there, and he's got four wives. And the wives are there, amen. They have to, they cannot show any emotions. They cannot show any feelings. They cannot show any affections. They cannot show anything when they are there. The only time that they can show these things is when they are in their private time, amen. Listen, and they're there. They're in the same house, and they're saying different things of what's going on. Listen to me, amen. It's not a happy time. That's why God said a husband to one wife. One wife. Can everybody say amen? Amen? Throughout all this and all the things that happened, it showed God's grace, folks. That God's grace was still, amen, upon their lives. Throughout the thousands of years, God's grace was upon Israel. God's grace added Tamar's son, Perez, to the line of Judah. Ruth became a godly woman and brought Obed, Jesse, and David. God's grace made Bathsheba the mother of Solomon. just because, of where you and I come from, or maybe of what you and I have committed, does not, tonight, disqualify you, from becoming somebody that can birth the next man or woman of God. Because God's grace, say it with me, is sufficient for you and I tonight. Are you tonight in need of God's provision, His faithfulness, or possibly even God's grace upon our lives? It is available for you tonight. God is at work, and He is working tonight upon our lives. He is faithful. He is faithful to do one thing, to uphold the promises that He has towards you and I. Even tonight, if you are a non-Christian, can I tell you something? God's grace is giving you an opportunity to come home tonight. God's grace is working in your life. He brought you out tonight. He says He will save you if you repent and turn from the error of your ways. See, that grace tonight has been offered to many of people in the past. But we're not going to talk about the people in the past. We're going to talk about you and I tonight. Will you receive it? Will you receive that grace of God that God is trying to offer you and I tonight? The grace that Paul says, that Paul brought forth in Corinthians and said, when God said, God, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul was saying all these things. Paul wanted all these things to be removed, and the Lord says, Paul, these things are not going to be removed. The thorn in his side is not going to be removed. God told him, Paul, my grace is all you need. My grace tonight is sufficient. Can I tell you, you and I better be glad that we are under God's grace, because, those skeletons in our closet, those things that possibly people don't even know about you and I tonight, they would disqualify you in a heartbeat, you wouldn't be able to continue forward. But God says tonight, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need tonight, they will be covered by my grace. When people don't accept you, I will accept you. I will accept you. I will accept you. When you and I cannot even go because people are looking at us crazy, God says, you're the apple of my eye. You are the apple, Mark. You're the apple of God's eye. Hallelujah. Mark's like, and thank you, Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, folks? Those skeletons that we have, they disqualify us for a lot of things. But they don't disqualify us from entering into God's presence. Because God says, I will cover you with grace and mercy. Where you are not accepted, you can come to me as my hands are right open for you to come in and enter in. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Skeletons in the closet. shameful things that you are ashamed that you don't want people to know. Can I tell you, you and I cannot hide anything from God tonight. God sees all. He says, I see high and I see low. There's nothing that you and I can possibly try to cover. And even in the midst of that, folks, Jesus still loves you. He still cares about you. You're here in this place. You've never given Jesus your life. Estás aquí en este lugar y nunca te has entregado tu corazón a Dios. You want to do that tonight before you leave. Antes de que te vayas, quieres entregar tu vida y tu corazón al Señor. Pastor Jesús, pray for me. Pastor Jesús, ora por mí. You're here in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus. Nunca te has entregado tu corazón al Señor. You can do it tonight. Lo puedes hacer en esta noche. Simply do one thing. Lift up your hand. Simplemente haz una cosa. Levanta la mano. ¿Quieres entregar tu vida y tu corazón al Señor? Levanta la mano. You're a backslider here in this place. Eres un apartado en esta noche. You backslid. Your heart is not right. Tu corazón no está bien con Dios. You want to give your life to Jesus. ¿Quieres entregar tu corazón otra vez al Señor? Here's my hand. Aquí está mi mano. I want to come back to Jesus. I'm here in this place tonight. I know that there are things that I'm not proud of. Those skeletons in the closet, I'm not proud of them. I'm ashamed of them. But God, would you accept me? Señor, yo sé que hay estas cosas que me avergüenzo de las cosas que yo he cometido. Pero Señor, en esta noche quiero que me aceptes. Aquí está mi mano. Aquí está mi mano levantada. Levántala. Entrega tu corazón otra vez al Señor. Give your heart and life to Jesus tonight. Let Jesus touch you. Church, God is faithful. Podemos ver la fieldad de Dios en esta noche. Dios es fiel. He is our provider. Es nuestro proveedor. Providador. Y Él nos demuestra su gracia y su misericordia. And He shows us His grace and His mercy. He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. No te quiere matar, pero salvarte. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight. Maybe God told you that even though there are skeletons in your closet, que aunque tengas esqueletos en el closet, Dios todavía quiere usar y tiene un propósito para tu vida. God has a purpose for your life, church. Even though you might have some hidden things, God wants to help you tonight. Will you let Him tonight? ¿Podrás dejarle en esta noche que Él te ayude? El altar está abierto. Vengan. Vengan. Arrímense a Dios en esta noche. Arrímense a la presencia del Señor. God, I know there's these things that are there. Señor, yo sé que hay estas cosas en mi vida. But God, I need you. Pero Dios, te necesito más y más. I need you. Te necesito. I need you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her. Touch her, God. Help her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch him. Tócalo, Señor. Father, minister, God. Ministra, Padre, sobre su vida, Señor. Ayúdale, Padre. Tócale, Señor, en esta noche. Guía, Padre. Ayúdale, Señor. Oh, Father, we need you in this place, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful tonight that even though there are skeletons in our closet, that God would still want to use our lives? Amazing.
que aunque tengamos estas cosas en nuestros pasados, que Dios todavía quiere usar nuestras vidas. Qué maravilla es esa. Qué maravilla es esa. Qué maravilla es esa. Qué maravilla es esa. Que Dios quiere usar nuestras vidas.
That God wants to use our lives. We're trying to cover our past, and God's like, it's covered under my blood. You don't have to worry about it with me. When you accepted me, those things that you think are there that are disqualifying you, they're covered. He told everybody he did a miracle for, he says, go, but sin no more, because you're covered. Because we're covered.
A todos los que él tocó, Cristo les dijo, ve, pero ya no peques,
porque estamos cubiertos abajo de la sangre de Cristo, que él es nuestro cubrimiento.
That Jesus, folks, is our covering. Él es nuestro cubrimiento.
Listen, there's things in my past, folks. There's shameful things. But Jesus still says, my grace is sufficient for you. For me.
Mi gracia es suficiente para ti en esta noche.
Y es lo que Cristo quiere hacer en esta noche. Let's give God glory tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Y araba baba.